our theme for this morning is love. But let's just pray as we come to worship. Lord God, thank you for all of the happenings of the last week. Thank you for the carol concert and for the fact that the church was full and we were able to really sing your praises to that lovely band. Thank you for those from the Salvation Army who were so encouraging and prayerful towards us. Thank you, Lord, for your love which spans denominations and spans personal belief, but came down at Christmas to make yourself known to us. Lord, I pray that this morning as we come to worship, you will remind us why we're here, that we will be able to still our hearts, to not ignore the things that are going on in the world, but Lord, to bring them before you. And as we worship you, Lord, we know that other things pale not into insignificance, but into their rightful place. So, Lord Jesus, we come before you today. And I pray that our worship will be honouring to you. Take our hearts and our lives, Lord. Amen. A man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Lord, as we come before you in worship this morning, may we hush the noise. Hush the noise in our brains, in our minds, in our busy thoughts, Lord. Hush the noise about the cards we haven't sent, about the people that we haven't contacted, the things we haven't done, and the presents that haven't been bought or wrapped yet. Hush the noise. And Lord, just as we ask you to hush the noise in our own minds and hearts and lives, Lord, we long for the noise to be hushed in the world, Lord, where people don't know yet of your love, where man is still at war with man. Lord, we long that they might hear the love song which you bring. Let us know your love today, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite Ken and Jenny to do the reading.
Sunday we lit the candle of joy. We light it and all the candles of hope and peace again as we remember that Christ will come again and will bring us everlasting peace and joy.
The fourth candle of Advent is the candle of love. God's love is perfect love. It holds nothing back. God in love gives us everything we need to live a life of hope and peace. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Love is patient. Love is kind and envies no one. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or even selfish. Love is not quick to take offence. It keeps no records of wrongs. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance. Love never ends. Love never fails. So we light the candle of love to remind us of how God's perfect love is found in Jesus. Love is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the love we find in Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your gift of love, shown to us perfectly in Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to prepare our hearts to receive him. Bless our worship. Help us to hear and do your word. We ask it in the name of the one who was born in Bethlehem. Amen. Has everybody got, has everyone got a little sheet?
It's on the screen.
Oh, okay.
As I was thinking about what our Christmas services should be about and thinking about what I would say to people who said, well, you know, what is Christmas all about? Why did Jesus come? And it reminded me of the title of a movie, a lot of people's favourite Christmas movie. And the answer is, I think Deb's got it. No? Love Actually. actually? The answer is, it was love, actually. And I'm not going to refer to the movie too much, although if you know it, then you know it. It's a lot of different scenes and scenarios about different characters and different types of love. And there's the marriage that's kind of on the rocks, but they don't really know about it. There's the singletons who bump into each other and are trying to work out their feelings and how their complicated lives are going to fit together. And there are the divorcees and the bereaved people trying to kind of negotiate finding new love amongst the complications of blended and broken and complex family situations, shall we say, and the way that love finds a way, and okay, it doesn't always work out it doesn't often work out, does it, in the way that movies do, but it represents the complex nature of life and the complex nature of love relationships, and I love the fact that that the Christmas theme is love, actually. And so why did Jesus come to earth? Well, the reason was love, actually. And I've got a few verses to read. And while that's coming on, I'm just going to pop these in front so that I don't forget them. Always click on the wrong thing. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, sorry, don't worry about looking them up, they're very short and there's lots of different references. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've already mentioned John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Romans 8 again. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. But God, being rich in mercy, this is from Ephesians, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. Jeremiah 31. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And this morning, lovely church family and friends, I want you to know and feel God's love this morning. In the busyness of Christmas preparations and wondering where we're going to spend Christmas Day, and again, all the things that we have to do, we sometimes can easily lose sight of why Jesus came. Or we can just sort of say it in the busyness, he came because he loved us. But we don't actually take the time to really enjoy that love. I started reading the wonderful book that Lillian gave us each a copy of this week. I don't know how many of you have managed to pick it up yet. It's difficult to find time to pick up a new book, isn't it, in the busyness of the run-up to Christmas. But I know some of you have picked up. And there's a couple of things, even in the first chapter that Matt Redman said, that have really stuck with me. And one of them, Matt Redman says, I found out early on that these worship songs we sing are not just about us talking to God. They're a means of him talking to us too. So as we worship this morning, if you're feeling tired, exhausted, or weary, well, Jesus says, come to me, doesn't he? Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants us to have the time to rest in his love. He wants us to enjoy worshipping him, not just as our offering to him, but so that we can experience his love.
Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the shine, bow to babe on bended knee, the savior of humanity, unto us a child is born.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Come and see what God has done. The story of amazing love. I've got to confess, there is something of a guilty pleasure about getting to choose the songs for a service, because the two carols that we've sung so far this morning happen to be two of my favourites, and I do find that the words are so worshipful and really express our love back to God for what he's given to us. Sorry, I'm not making it easy for Nigel, who's trying to capture me. I've got some presents here to give out this morning. One of them's for Keith, and he's not here. Is he poorly today? I wonder if you'd be able to open it for him on his behalf for me, Val. Thank you. Because I've been really enjoying getting to know the other deacons, and it's been a process, hasn't it, as getting to know each other and our strengths and challenges and different personalities. But I'm hoping that I've managed to choose some gifts which reflects a little bit on people's characters. So this is one for Keith, which I'll get Val to open for us.
I reckon that's a calculator, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got guesses going on. Calculator, money box. Neither of the above.
Polystyrene,
yeah. Something in the polystyrene. And it's a mug. And what does it say on the mug, Val?
Relax, I have a spreadsheet for that.
I saw that and I thought, yeah, Keith is somebody who feels relaxed when he's got a spreadsheet for something. And I hope he'll appreciate that. Now, these two look quite similar. I hope I get them the right way round. I think let's try that one. Yeah, and Ken, that one's for you.
Thank you. That's
bigger
than mine.
So childish.
One thing we have to be grateful to God for is that he never gets the wrong gift. And he knows exactly what we need and exactly what we want. So one thing I've learned about Jenny is that she is really keen on spreading the light of Jesus around. So,
so
I thought that was... And one thing I've learned about Ken is not only that he does a lot of cooking, but he loves a really cheesy joke. So, and if you can't read it, it says, catch up with Jesus, let us praise and relish him. He loves me from my head to my tomatoes. So, yeah, enjoy. They, as you can tell, they're probably super cheap. They're made of polyester. I wouldn't get too close to the cooker with them. the sentiments there. So, yeah, that's just a bit of fun. But, I was pretending that I didn't know whose was whose, but God never gets our gifts wrong. Sometimes we feel that somebody else has got the gift which we should have, don't we? And he never gets our gifts wrong. He always gives us exactly what we need, and not always exactly what we want, but he knows our character, he knows our personality, he knows what we can cope with. One of the other things that really struck me in Matt Redman's book, he talks about when he was invited to the Grammys, and he'd been invited to the Grammys before and nominated, but he thought it was so unlikely that he would win that he took a seat right at the very back of the auditorium. And then when he did win, he had to pretty much jog to make it up to the stage by the time the music that they play as you're making your way had run out. He wasn't sure. He was sort of debating with his wife whether it was okay as a Christian and as somebody who's a worship leader and trying to give the glory to God, whether it was okay to be in that situation where there's all this pomp and ceremony and money spent and glitz and glamour. And his Beth, his wife, said something really wise to him, which was that God has trusted you with this moment. And God gives us gifts because he trusts us. He gives us things that he can trust us with. And obviously Matt Redman has used his songwriting gifts and his position of achieving fame and I don't know about fortune, but he's used that position to glorify God and to make his songs known. And his songs which give glory to God are sung all around the globe. But God always gives us the gifts that are right for us. So why do we give gifts? Well, we try and give people things that we know that they'll like, and we want them to be happy, and we want to bless them. And I hope that Jenny and Ken and Keith are super blessed by my by my humorous little gifts. But why do we give gifts to people we don't know? Why do we feel shoeboxes with toys and gifts for children in faraway countries who we've never seen and are never likely to see? Well, we do it because we want them to experience something of God's heart through the receiving of something from a faraway country. We want them to know something somehow of the unconditional love and grace of God. So I pray that this morning you will know something of the love and grace of God. He knows if we need comforting. He knows if we can be trusted. He knows if we will share our gifts or if we'll keep it to ourselves. So if you see somebody this Christmas with a bigger gift, Ken... That's right, you played right into my hands there, it was great. If you see somebody else with a bigger gift, whether it's a physical gift or a spiritual gift, you know, Corinthians asks us to eagerly desire the greater gift. But he also assures us, Jesus also assures us, that he gives the gift to each of us as we have need, and in order that we can bless each other with those gifts. So let's pray for more gifts that we can bless each other with. But let's also remember the greatest gift, the gift of love. Would you like to just hold your hands out in front of you? I've got my sweatshirt on this morning that says the greatest gift of all. Lord Jesus, our hearts are full with love for you. We can never comprehend the love that you have for us. But we receive you today. We receive you. You are the greatest gift. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you didn't stay the baby in the manger. But you grew and you taught us and you showed us what we should be embodying. And then you come and live in us by your resurrected spirit. Lord, we receive you. And in receiving you, we receive love. Help us to go on receiving you, receiving your love, so that we can show your love to the world. This is love, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice, so that we could have that love relationship with the Lord, the Father, again. Lord, we receive you this Christmas season. Help us to embody and show and convey that love to all of those who we spend time with in this festive season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And may the blessing of God and the Father, Son and Holy Spirit go with you into this week and in all your Christmas celebrations. Amen. Amen.